Your mum called. She wants her radio back.
It's Radio Mother.
Yesterday, Joel spoke to Perrin Hastings, the co-creator of Gender Agenda, a docu-series following Perrin's journey with her gender identity, following on from the very successful first season. Let's give it a listen.
The second season of the Gender Agenda is set to come out very, very soon. It's been around a year since I chatted to you last about the first season. How have you been since then?
Yeah, I've been good. It's been a bit of a roller coaster this last year, both personally and just globally. It's been crazy, a crazy time to be queer. And so it's been keeping me very busy and just trying to seek out some joy in the world amongst all this chaos.
Absolutely. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you use she, they pronouns now, and you identify as a transgender woman. How has the creation and development of the first season helped you to come to terms with this identity?
Oh, it turned me trans. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it really did.
Not the trans agenda. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I know. I fell victim to my own propaganda. No, it's... It was funny because when we were doing the kind of interviews and stuff in the last season, I'd already started to go on hormones.
Really?
So I actually started HRT in September of last year. So September 25th.
Wow.
Is my traniversary. And so when we were releasing season one in November, I already kind of had the secret in my back pocket just because all of the conversations and stuff from season one were just hitting me. And I kept finding myself being like, oh, I'm really like leaning really hard towards the feminine side of things. Like a lot of the stuff I don't like about my body or the way I live is a lot of the stuff we'd expect from a very masculine kind of person.
Right. Yeah.
And eventually I was just lying on my couch thinking over the season, hearing all these words from the interviews echoing through my head. And I was like, I'm trans. Like, I'm a trans woman. And since then, it's just been a whole process.
So is it a bit, I don't know what the right word is, I guess interesting to look back at yourself in the first season and to sort of see how you've changed over the past year? Is it a bit unusual, maybe?
Yeah. It's funny because I've been looking through all the social media from last season and running it through for ideas for this current one. And even just seeing myself in that first episode, seeing my red hair and like my face structure looked a little different. And it's crazy to see. Like, I recognize that person, but I don't feel like I am that person, if it makes sense.
That makes complete sense. Now, with the second season, I guess, in mind with your, I don't want to say new identity, but being a bit more upfront with your gender identity, I guess, that's maybe a better way of putting it. Will you be touching on, I guess, your experience now as a transgender woman in the second season that might be a little bit different than sort of your touching on your gender identity in the first season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first season was more of an exploration. I think it came from curiosity about my own identity and where I kind of fit in the community. Now, here in the second season, I know where I fit, but reaching my goals of transition and existing in the world as a trans person comes with its own questions and its own challenges. So that's a lot of what we explore this time. The very first episode actually is all about transition and me asking myself, like, am I doing this correctly? Is there a particular path that I'm supposed to go down to fit the role of a trans woman? Yeah, and we talked to some different people who have transitioned themselves, including Ramon Tewake, who is also one of the directors for the season. And it's just so fun being able to hear other people's journeys and just feel validated that whatever road you're going down is actually the right one, as long as it makes you feel good.
We love to hear it. And we'll talk more about, I guess, who is on this, who you feature in the second season. But you touched on a very interesting topic about that first episode there. And you touch on throughout the season a lot of other very interesting topics, such as the inaccessibility of gender-affirming care in the public health system, the job search for a young trans person, and if there is a sort of happy ever after for trans people when searching for love. What prompted you to discuss these topics specifically, or just, you know, what prompted you to, you know, incorporate the topics that you did choose in the second season?
So much of it came from my own worries being a trans person existing right now. So for the third episode, which is all about dating and finding that happy ever after, I was newly single for the first time in a long time. And it was, you know, it's been my first time dating as a trans woman. And that was its own like set of worries. And I felt like I had to learn a whole new role. So that inspired that episode. And the other ones fall along the same lines where, you know, talking about employment, how a new boss is going to see me, and how must that affect people who are transitioning much younger than I am? I have an established career to a certain extent. What about people who are like 17, 18 and are doing it? And same goes with surgery. Mm. I personally don't know if I want surgery, but I have only just started to consider the possibility, and I want to know if there even is a possibility here in New Zealand, because there are plenty of horror stories out there.
Touching on a point you made there about younger trans people, would you say that's sort of the target demographic of this season, as someone who's maybe a little bit older and sort of reflecting on their identity over the years?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was the same with the first season, but this season especially, I think, is the type of show that I would have wanted when I was younger. And, you know, if there's anything that I can teach people that I'm learning right now and make it easier for them coming up through those teenage years and those kind of uni student early 20s years, then I'm happy to offer it.
Now, you've kind of touched on this throughout this interview a little bit, but another topic you're discussing is a sort of reassessment of the trans queer activism in the current climate. Have you personally noticed a change yourself, maybe even specifically here in Aotearoa over the past few years?
Sure. I mean, I think there's been a need to be a lot more visible in the past few years. I think even 10 years ago, we had some great progress happening as far as general rainbow acceptance, but that's kind of been taking a backstep globally in the past few years. We've seen a lot more kind of culture wars imported over here, and a lot more questions about, you know, trans people in bathrooms or, you know, trans people at school or in sports. So to combat that, I feel like there's more of a need now to be really open, really, really loud. And also, there was an interesting conversation that I had with Emi Rakete, who brought up the need to reassess our kind of expectations of safety as well at these events. Quite often we can go in and, you know, if it doesn't feel safe, everybody's kind of like, you know, we can step back, we can come back and fight another day. But sometimes we have to show up in these numbers, and these numbers are the only things that can make us safe, because if these people keep being able to spread their hatred so loudly, the whole world is going to become unsafe and we're never going to have an escape from that.
This sounds like this season's going to be quite deep, like quite emotional. You mentioned Ramon Tawake earlier as a guest on this season, and you also just mentioned Emi Rakete as well. Who else will be featured throughout this season of the gender agenda?
Yeah, we've got heaps of people. We've got Mr. Australasia Bear 2025, Jeb Brown, is going to be joining us. We have the co-leader of the Green Party, Marama Davidson, is going to be joining us as well. We've also got an interview with the one gender-affirming surgeon here in New Zealand, Dr. Rita Yang, which was an amazing honor for us, because, you know, she doesn't often do a lot of media, and we were very, very happy, very honored that she was able to take the time for us out of an understandably busy schedule. Got a lot of lives to make better, that Dr. Rita Yang. So, yeah.
Well, this season sounds like it's going to be quite an incredible watch, like the first season was. When will season 2 be dropping? Where will people be able to watch it? And where can people find some more information about it?
The first episode is going to be dropping November 13th, and that's going to be all across our different platforms. So episodes are going to be going up on our YouTube and our Instagram. And we're also got a bunch of beautiful content over on our TikTok as well. All of those can be found at the_gender_agenda. that's all the same across all of our platforms.
Perfect. That was my final question there, Perrin. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just that I hope our season can give people a little bit of warmth. As I said, it's been a tough time recently. And on social media right now, it is incredibly, incredibly tough. I've seen the comment sections. They're not fun. So if we can give people any kind of window of comfort, then we've done our job. And I hope you like it.
That was Joel speaking to Perrin Hastings, the co-creator of Gender Agenda. Gosh, I could just never say it. If you would like to have a listen again to that interview, or if you just tuned in and have a listen, it will be podcasted on the 95BFM website under Radio Mother. It should be up after the show, which ends at 9. Half an hour left? Oh my gosh. The show is going by very quickly. But for now, I think let's just take a little break and then we can come back to some awesome music.